5, 6, 7, 8, and 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back to Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, with Brandon Bollinger. Blake Snell held his introductory press conference today. The Dodgers extended Tommy Edman. Farhan Zaidi might be coming back. All things are raining down Dodgers. But first, Brandon, how are you, buddy? How you doing? I'm happy to have you back. How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm about 80% good. I'm deferring the other 20% of my happiness a little bit later today, dude.
Okay,
just got like it. My boys, the Dodgers, dude. Hello? That's deferred payments till fucking who cares, dude. Let's sign them all, dude. Fuck yeah.
Dude, it's my rent is due. My rent is due. We're in the first 5 days of the month, and I'm like, hey, you know, to my property company, I'm like, can I just defer, like, you know, 60% of my rent over the next 5 or 6 months?
And they go, are you throwing some fucking 100-mile-an-hour cheese? If not, get out of here, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Let me see that 12-6 breaking ball, nerd.
That my landlord was somehow less outraged than the way baseball fans have been outraged over what the Dodgers have been doing over the past few weeks. But anyways, let's just get right into it because we're short on time today. It'll be a quicker episode than usual. Blake Snell had his introductory press conference today. Scott Boras was there on the scene with Blake. They were sitting side by side with Andrew Friedman. And first off, I just want to sort of before we get into what Blake said, what the team said, how do you think Blake Snell looked in Dodger blue? What was your first impression of seeing him in the Dodger uni?
Well, Jesse, I think you and I may differ on this. I thought the kid looked clean. I thought he looked a little shaggy in the old San Diego brown and gold. I don't really think anybody looks good in orange out there in the Bay. But, you know, that classic white, blue uni, you know, that blue Dodger. I don't know. I think he looks great. Jesse, I don't know if you agree with that.
No. It's not that I don't agree that he looks good. I think that he's a good-looking guy. I'm sure he looks good in the uni. I just don't – it's a matter of, like, it's weird because I've seen him in a Padres uniform and I've seen him in a Dodgers uniform, right, over the past few – 3 or 4 years now. He just doesn't – like, when Shohei put on the uniform, he looked – it was clean, man. It looked good. It was like, oh, he belongs in that uniform. I don't get that same vibe of Blake Snell. It almost reminds me a little bit of, like, when Manny Machado was in the Dodgers uniform.
Whoa.
It's hard to look bad in a Dodger uniform. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful uniform. It's a classic uniform. It was just a little weird. It's going to take some getting used to for
you know
me.
What,
I'm
Jesse,
not saying I'm not there yet is all.
I was thinking you were a little bit off base at first, but I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm sipping that sake kimosabi. I do think that Manny's a good comp. Definitely a guy that looked weird in Dodger blue. But I think once you see Blake get a win or pitch a 1-2-3 inning, it's going to all feel sweet.
Yeah, look.
It's going to all feel sweet.
Look, baseball fans hearing me complain about the way he looks in the uniform, they're going to fucking be pissed when they hear that take. They're going to call me a clown, rightfully so. I'm just saying, as like a Dodger fan, it's a little weird.
Well,
I'm just not.
And Jesse,
I'm not
to your
quite
point,
there.
Dude, to your point of people not liking that, the fucking champs get to do what they want, baby, dude. So
yeah.
You fucking talk about what else do you got to talk about, dude? Like, there's no worries in the world, dude. We're fucking.
Yeah.
We just won the World Series. The majority of the team is coming back, all the major pieces, and now we just added a 2-time Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah,
it's. It's tough to be blue right now. It is not a blue Christmas for Dodger fans.
You know what? It might just be like he has a little bit of a weird body type, and I hate being that kind of guy. He might just have a little strange body type. Also, he's not wasting any time on selling his Snellzilla merch. They're really leaning into the LA at the end of Zilla.
Yeah, you weren't
Zilla LA.
You weren't so thrilled on the Zilla.
No, have you seen his merch? It's awful.
I don't know that
bad.
I would wear it, but I get the kind of like, I don't know. You know what, dude? Let him ball out, and I'll buy us both a couple of hats, dude. Blake, we're stoked to have you.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're not hating on you, just like we're not hating on the Dodgers bringing in, on an extension, I should say, Well, our boy, Tommy Tanks, Jess. Five years, 75 mil, am I correct?
5 years, 74 million.
74.
For Tommy Tanks.
That's a come up. Come up, dude.
It's what was your first reaction? Because we knew, like, I think a week ago that the Dodgers were likely, that they were working on an extension with Edmund. We knew that that was a possibility. Were you anticipating this? Were you confident they were going to get this done? Or because remember, we knew we had Edmund for next year. We knew that he wasn't going anywhere for next season. But when I heard they were working on an extension, that was music to my ears, because what it said to me was, oh, they're officially moving on from Chris Taylor. That was my official, my original take was they're ready to move on from Chris Taylor as their versatile, like, all over the field piece. And the comp is there because the contract is very similar.
Yeah, and not only is the contract very similar, but he was pretty much obtained for spare parts, right? Much like Chris Taylor from Seattle. I think it was Jerry DePoto is the owner over there, or whatever, GM over for Seattle. I think he said it was the worst trade he's ever made. And it feels like every trade the Cardinals has made over the last couple of years has been the worst trade they've ever made. From a Rosarena to the slugger over in Texas, my goodness. Oh, man.
Adolis Garcia.
Adolis Garcia. Yeah. You know, now Tommy Ed. I think like you said, it's the heir apparent to a linchpin in the Dodgers formula, right? Hyper versatility, a guy that can play center field, shortstop, at a plus defensive clip, switch hitter, hits for power, average. But I did see a little bit of some hate out in the streets, saying that he was just on a heater hot streak, tomato, sure. Tomato, yeah. Whatever. But he was on a good old Tommy Tankin session over the playoffs. But I don't buy into that. I think that it was a really, really exciting pickup. Even knowing that he was coming off an injury, the ceiling on him was just so high. And I think we got a good little glimpse of what he can do. And I think, Jess, you'll agree with me on this, but I think it adds some leverage almost to negotiations with some other players. Why don't you take that away from me?
Yeah, so before I get into that, I just want to revisit, because you mentioned the trade. In that trade for Tommy Edman, and that was also the Michael Kopech trade.
Yes,
the Dodgers also got Kopech from the White Sox in that trade. So the Cardinals got Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham, and cash considerations. The Dodgers got Edman, Michael Kopech, and Oliver Gonzalez, who we did not see. The White Sox got Miguel Vargas, RIP, we wish you nothing but the best, Miguel. They also got infield prospect Jarrell Perez and Alexander Albertus, and a player to be named later, or cash considerations. The Dodgers basically, like you said, spare parts. It was. We had the Miguel Vargas experiment had run out. This is arguably one of the best trades the Dodgers have ever made in the Friedman era, because it led to a World Series win. You cannot tell me that Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech did not directly contribute to this team winning a World Series, especially Edman. Dodgers do not win a World Series without those two players. Just, you cannot change my mind on that.
Yeah.
I think that was a World Series winning trade. Like, no question about it. And extending Edman makes all the sense in the world. Really, I want to get to my point about leverage. Were you going to ask me something?
No, I just wanted to add real quick. Andrew Freeman in Blake Snell's press conference today was asked about his aggressiveness in the offseason. And he said that he doesn't want to pay, an exorbitant price in July when he could pay right now. And it's not necessarily like a homegrown deal, but these are market price. Snell was a little bit more of a creative contract, deferred money, signing bonus, what have you. But Tommy, just a freaking good sign, or a good trade and sign, you know. I love it.
Include deferred money, by the way.
Good,
just FYI.
Dude. Good, dude. I think the Dodgers are at like $960 million.
$964
since 2020. Incredible.
One thing I want to say before we move on, the thing about this that people have to realize – It's important that the Dodgers got this off the board early. That's why signing Snell early was so important, and signing Edmund was so important. It's two very different reasons, but similar reasons. Signing Snell early, you set the market for the free agent pitching market, where you can sort of screw over other teams that are going to be paying top dollar for Corbin Burns or Max Fried. But also, you get your guy early, because Snell was in a position where, hey, he was willing to accept certain offers where he didn't want to have to go down that road of a long offseason again, of signing a contract like a few weeks before the season started. So it was smart of the Dodgers to do that. Secondly, for Tommy Edman, Dodgers, they're in a position where they have to try to get Teoscar Hernandez back. Yeah. They have to try to fill the shortstop role. So what they did, the first two things that they did was they signed Miguel Rojas to an extension. They got him back so he can play some shortstop. They also signed Tommy Edman. Both those two guys can fill shortstop and center field if needed. Tommy Edman especially. He can play multiple positions, so that when you're negotiating with Teoscar Hernandez or, like, let's say a Willy Adames out there in the free agent market, those guys want to come to LA. You have some leveraging power. You could tell them, hey, you're gonna have to shave a few million off because we don't necessarily need you. We have those spots filled. I don't like saying it because I want to see the best players get paid. But you want to come to the Dodgers. We're over the luxury tax. This is just good business by the Dodgers. Very smart for them to get this out of the way now, to let teams know, hey, you want to sign a six-year deal, we have Tommy Edman here for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to necessarily need you for 6 years. Yeah. You know, so it just provides a little extra leveraging power by a Friedman and the Dodgers. Just smart. Just smart stuff.
Totally agree. I really, I think you nailed it right there, brother.
Yeah. So, but we're going to get to the juice of this, to the headline of Juan Soto. Really quick reaction. Farhan Zaidi, he's officially out from the front office of the San Francisco Giants. Reports indicate that he is coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Farhan Zaidi might be working on a deal to return to the Dodgers front office. We don't know what capacity yet, but we do know that him and Andrew Friedman have a great relationship. What's your reaction?
I don't mind it whatsoever. I know some people are like, hey, we just won the World Series. We don't need him. You know, da da da. I don't know. Like you said, they have a history. They work great together. He did well with the Dodgers. I'm all about it. There's always more room for talented people in the front office, field, whatever. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's like a needle mover for the franchise, but it is one of those they can't keep getting away with this, dude. Just getting everybody.
Yeah. Well, if you're Brandon Gomes, the GM of the Dodgers, you're kind of like, hey, you better not be coming back for my job, because that's what Zaidi was, the former GM. Like, you're going back to your Ned Coletti role.
Yeah, you can
for the
be
Dodgers.
The assistant to the GM, dude. Fucking
yeah, but he's really good at identifying talent, I think. So he could potentially work with like scouting. There's a lot of stuff that Zaidi could do. He was really essential in like bringing in like Justin Turner and Chris Taylor. So he could be one of those guys where he could really help with that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, finding too. Value but in when those. When Friedman and the Guggenheim era came in, Zaidi was a part of that, and I believe he was a big part of like, which was revolutionary at the time, right? But like player nutrition, making sure all the kids, the kids in the minors, like had good healthy food available regularly, and I think even like upping their pay a little bit, which was a little bit ahead of the time before the leagues kind of caught up with it.
Well,
but we've talked about this, Jess, and this just suggests, you know, another example of the Dodgers being so far ahead in so many areas, where now when you see it all together as this one package, and it's like, fuck, how are all these employees deferring their salaries for so long? You know, it's like, well, it's become this destination where if you're getting developed in the minors or just signing over, there's this, you know, culture, and it's got continuity of just do your work, get the the reps in, get your attention, you know, whether it's, you know, working with your driveline guys or whatever, hitting coaches, pitching coaches, everything seems to be so dialed into the individual. You know, like we're seeing it. Everybody wants to be a Dodger, and boy, do I want everybody now.
Well, I think that all we have to remember, you're absolutely right. I think Friedman also, him and Zaidi saw eye to eye on how you get the most, not only out of your players, but out of the people around the players. And I think there was a book written about Andrew Friedman and his like Wall Street buddies. It's called the extra 2%. And the whole theory behind it is that their philosophy is, how do you get the extra 2% out of people on a day-to-day basis, on an hour-to-hour basis, on a year-to-year basis, right? You get 2% out of everybody, and that comes in like 2% extra sleep, 2% better nutrition, 2% longer of a break, whatever it be. You just you get a little more out of people, and then people around you, they trust you more, they want to work for you more, you get better output, you get better results. And I think that's sort of the idea. And I think him and Friedman, Zaidi and Friedman, really see eye to eye on that. So I'm happy to have you back, Farhan. But I'm very glad that you failed miserably in San Francisco. So let's move on here. Juan Soto, we're going to be talking about this until we're not talking about it anymore. But Juan Soto, apparently the reporting suggests that the offer for Juan Soto has reached $600 million. The process of eliminating teams has begun, and according to Ken Rosenthal, the Dodgers have made a $600+ million offer to obtain his services. What is your reaction?
Fuck, dude. I mean, I kind of call bullshit, right? Like, you're telling me the Dodgers are just blank checking it. They got $700 million in the bag last year, and they got another $600 and some change right now. I don't know. It does seem like maybe this is a little Boris inside information, taking advantage of, hey, I just signed one of my guys with the Dodgers. Now I want maybe my big guy to go over there. I don't know, Yanks, why don't you open up the purse strings? Hey, Stevie Cohen, you don't want to see this guy in the wrong shade of blue. Who's that? Boston. It's a real East Coast party over there. And don't forget about your boys up in Toronto. But I really think that is the real four-horse race. But like you were just saying, man, you were just making the great point about how the Dodgers signing Tommy Edman is a little bit of gamesmanship to some other free agents to maybe help control the price, as well as throw a little wrench in the pricing of other free agent starters, like in the case of Burns and Fried, vis-a-vis the Snell contract. So it wouldn't be so far-fetched to believe that the Dodgers are out here cranking up that dollar amount for their rivals and going, hey, you know what, why don't you see if he's down to defer 680 mil of whatever, 580 mil, you know, if it's a $600 million contract. But that said, from everything we've heard, and I'm not breaking bread with a kid, you know, what do I know? But everything we've heard suggests that Juan Soto does not want to defer money. Mm-hmm. He wants it straight up, you know, more traditional.
That's important to remember. Yeah.
And he wants that AAV high. I think he wants to be a record breaker, and I think that's what Boris wants too.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to break any records unless you get the, you know, the champion, if you will, to dethrone it. So I think that's all part and parcel of this.
Well, I think that you're right. Rosenthal, say what you will about the guy as a reporter. He is one of the OGs. He could be
nothing
right.
But respect.
He could be right on this. He could be wrong on this. I don't know. I'm not an insider. But what I will say is, do guys like Rosenthal get used by the big agents like Boris to drive prices up on other teams? 1,000,000%. That you wouldn't be doing your job well on either side, to be honest. Like, there is an incentive for Rosenthal to play that game with Boris so that he continues to get good information. If you got to give a little to get a little in this game.
Jeff.
And so from his perspective, it's like, hey, I'm willing to report, maybe not falsely report, but like, just intentionally deceive in my reporting, I guess I would put it. You know, to let people know, hey, like the Dodgers, they're in on him. Did the Dodgers make a $600 million offer? Sure. But like, maybe they made it when they knew that the Mets already made a $640 million offer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Maybe they made a $600 million offer with $500 million deferred, you know? And you're like, what the fuck?
That's what it, exactly right.
You know?
I got to say this. If Juan Soto did accept an offer for the Dodgers of $600 million with, like, $200 million deferred, I genuinely think we might see like half the league go on strike. I don't know what would happen, but we might see a nuclear apocalypse from baseball fans. They would lose their fucking minds, Brandon.
You know what?
They would lose
Jesse,
their minds.
You know what? You're not hearing any of all that to lose in the NLDS anymore.
You're not.
Fucking rage quit. And that's what baseball is all about. I mean, it really is. I mean, how many every year 29 fan bases get to be just awfully, awfully angry at the end of the year.
And, can I ask you something though?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I was making a video about this the other day when Edmund signed his extension. I saw just people saying stuff in comments about how the Dodgers are bad for baseball. Even if they sign Soto or not, like just erase that from your memory here. I have the perception about all of this, about the spending, that this is the best thing possible for baseball right now. That there is a team that's doing this.
Yeah.
Because there are so many teams that aren't. When you create an enemy in sports, when you create, and I hate saying this as a Dodger fan, but I have to embrace this. We are the enemy now.
Yeah.
Dodger fan, Dodger players, the team, the organization, it is the enemy, but it's all built out of envy and jealousy, right? It's a good thing to have that. And if you're in the UFC, you have guys like Colby Covington and Conor McGregor who talk a lot of shit and say things that are out of pocket that you don't agree with. You're going to pay money if you don't like them to watch them get knocked out. Just like if you're a fan, you're going to pay money to watch them win. So isn't it good for sports when you have an enemy? Am I wrong on that?
Hey, I completely, completely agree. Fucking, how much
There's
money
nothing else to say.
Dude, how much money did Jake Paul just fucking make sparring Mike Tyson, a 60-year-old fucking guy, dude? You know what I mean? And we all tuned in because we thought, you know, if anybody's bad enough to fucking do it at 60, it's Mike. But we all got fucking game, dude. You know what I
mean?
But
here's the difference between it. Jake Paul was letting up on his opponent. The Dodgers aren't going to let up on anybody. If you actually believe that somebody has a chance to – that whatever team that you have has a better chance of beating the Dodgers than Mike Tyson had at beating Jake Paul.
Damn.
If you make the playoffs, you have an actual chance of beating them. The Diamondbacks did it. The Padres did it. The Braves did it. The Nationals did it. The Red Sox did it. The fucking Astros did it. The Cubs did it. Every fucking team has a chance to do it. Just put some pressure on your ownership to do it. All right.
Do you remember when the Phillies did it a couple years in a row? Or the Cardinals?
Yeah.
I just hated the color red for years, dude. Now I just hate the fucking color orange, dude. Astro
John
orange.
Morosi.
What?
John Morosi says we can expect a decision in the next 10 days on Juan Soto. Just FYI. So,
well,
we will,
to that I say the clock's fucking ticking, John.
Yeah, I mean, if he's wrong, this is a bad couple off seasons for John Morosi because he said that.
John.
Didn't he say that Ohtani was on a plane to was it Winnipeg? No, it was Toronto.
Some third
world
country up north.
Yeah, exactly. all right, we are running out of time. I know you got to go. Nolan Arenado was in the news, reportedly. Dodgers and Yankees reportedly in on Arenado. What's your reaction?
I think it's cool, but I mean, I would have been stoked on this like 3 years ago. I just think pound for pound right now, I think Muncy's the better fit, you know? Especially if they re-sign Kike, which I expect to happen. That gives some more flexibility at third. Don't forget about Rojas, could scoot over there if you needed. But yeah, I don't think there's much to it. I think, again, it's just like another ploy of, hey, maybe I can get traded over here. He is, you know, a SoCal guy, wanted to get traded over here out of Colorado. Obviously, that would never happen to an NL West competitor, but
yeah,
I think it'd be cool, but I would have been more fired up about it like 2-3 years ago. But yeah, there's no doubt Arenado's a baller, multi-time platinum glover. You know, guy mashes ding-dongs. Been seemingly a little bit of a liability at the plate the last couple seasons, but I'm good on him. I'm good.
No, and again, what were we just saying about how the Dodgers' name is going to be used on driving the price up on teams? This what this says to me is the Yankees are in on Nolan Arenado.
The Dodgers are the hot girl in class, dude. Everybody's like, yeah, dude, I made out with her. She's a slut. Like, no, you didn't. And it's like, yeah, no, I didn't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if I did, though, huh?
Wouldn't exactly. Yep, that's exactly right. And I would imagine that the Yankees need a guy like Arenado. And I think that if you're a if you're smart, if you're the Cardinals, you're leaking it to the Randy Miller. I forget who the reporter was. Hey, Dodgers are in on him too. And then you drive the price up on the Yankees and negotiate all that stuff. You get the deal. Aroldis Chapman signs a 1-year deal with the Red Sox. I'm sure Red Sox fans are thrilled about this.
Hey, it's something. That's cool. I guess that means Kenley's probably gone, right?
Yeah, Kenley's gone. That's definitely what this means. Yeah. That's the take here. But Kenley, hey, good for you. I don't know. I mean, he wants to come back to the Dodgers real bad. He's made no secret about it. I mean, apparently he didn't even like show up at the end of the season. Apparently he like stopped showing up. But some players were like defending him because I guess he was dealing with some personal stuff.
Oh wow.
So. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's
going on? Can't leave to the Tigers, dude. Watch.
The Tigers should do something like that. I wouldn't hate that at all. Kyle Higashioka signed a deal with the Texas Rangers for 2 years, which means he's no longer going to terrorize the NL West pitching. What do you think?
Oh, man. I thought the Padres were going to lock him up for real. He was so killer for them in the playoffs. Watch him hit a couple of freaking nukes. But yeah, no, Higgy over in Texas is going to look good. Him catching Jacob DeGrom. I think he has now had like back-to-back seasons with double-digit home runs. So shouts out to the slugger, Kyle. Get your bread.
Yeah, good for you, Kyle. Multi-year deal.
Padres fans, I know that's got to sting a little bit, but on a brighter note, guess who just set a franchise attendance record, Jess?
Who?
The San Diego Padres. This 2024 season, they climbed from 20th in 2012, when the team was sold, to third in 2024. Jess, any guesses at who the top one and two rankings are for attendance in the 2024 season?
Well, I mean, we know who number one was because they've been number one for like the past decade, and part of that comes with their TV deal and just their marketing budget and everything. But yeah, the Dodgers are number one. Number two, Yankees.
That is correct, Jess.
Yeah.
And number three, the small market can't spend any money, San Diego Padres. Jess, it's almost like if you put a product that people want to consume out on the field, that they will come and spend money at your business. Right. And in record numbers. Can you believe it? It's fucking insane.
It's a shocking concept. It's like a business has never realized, like, hey, if we actually improve, like, hey, if we make our restaurant look better, we might actually get more patrons to come in.
Dude,
if we go from having a B rating to an A rating, we might actually sell some food.
Yeah. It's almost like if the Padres weren't trying to overthrow a juggernaut up north in LA, like, they wouldn't need to assemble this all-star level caliber team assorted talent. And they've, you know, to their credit, rinsed and, you know, rearranged and reconstructed around their core, you know, of Tatis and Manny and you, Mr. Darvish. And you. I think it's great for baseball what they're doing in San Diego, and I think it does buck that small market trend. You know, granted, San Diego is a big city compared to some of these other markets, smaller cities, but dude, it's not really though. You can't claim that it's like, oh, like, Jess, I know you and I heard a lot of people bitching about empty seats in Oakland for a while, and it's like, oh, well, this is why Oakland doesn't deserve a team. And it's like, no, you idiot. It's because they're protesting the shitty owner who's not re-signing talent, who's they're developing great stars around the league, but they're wearing other teams' jerseys. You're not putting anything into facilities, and you're just sandbagging a whole franchise. This is what we're talking about it's not the Dodgers spending and deferring money that's bad for baseball. It's fucking cancerous owners who just funnel money into their pockets while giving nothing back to the communities that follow these teams so devoutly.
And when you complain about the Dodgers, how there needs to be a salary cap on what they're doing, when the Dodgers spend money, when they are taxed on the money that they go over the CBT, over the luxury tax, right? Where do you think that money goes? Just straight to the owner's office? Rob Manfred pockets it? No. It goes to you, Jerry Reinsdorf. It goes to you, owner of the Diamondbacks, owner of the A's, owner of the Cardinals. It goes to you. So you should be doing something with it. Put it, if you're not going to put it into your players, put it into your player development, put it into your international scouting, put it into whatever you want to make your team better. But you're going to be taking money and benefiting from the Dodgers spending money. That's how it works. So stop fucking around with this salary cap talk. It's nonsense.
It's bullshit. We are big proponents of a salary floor. I don't know how that would work out just yet, but something's got to be done to make these teams competitive. I know. TV deals, money in flux, but trust. There's enough money to go around for these fools to spend some of it, dude.
You know what we're not big fans of?
What?
Well, the golden at-bat rule.
Ooh!
Not a big fan of this. We're going to end here. You got to go, Brandon. We are wrapping this up. But Rob Manfred went on a podcast, and he made a comment about how different ideas that MLB is going through to sort of make the game more entertaining, just making it more even-keeled. And they threw out the idea of a golden at-bat rule, which, to sum it up, is that no matter what point you are in the game, you have one opportunity to bring up your best hitter at any point in the lineup. So if you're, it doesn't matter if the hitter just hit, it doesn't matter if they are seven spots away in the lineup, you can bring them up. So if the Dodgers have bases loaded and they're down three runs, they have a chance to win the game, they can bring up Shohei Ohtani to hit. No matter where he is in the lineup, it's their one time in the game. Golden at bat rule, what are your thoughts?
That if the golden rule is being used and Ohtani's up to bat, then it's not during the playoffs because you would obviously bring in Tommy fucking Tanks. But it's a stupid fucking rule. This isn't baseball. It's just some bastardized, like, hey, whatever, dude. Why not just have a golden ball, and if you hit that ball, it's worth three runs. Doesn't matter how many men are on base. It's the Blurns ball. You've heard us talk about the silliness of it before. Honestly, dude, while we're just talking about silly rules, maybe we should just make fucking steroids mandatory, dude. Like,
yeah, dude.
That'll put more butts in seats, dude. Everybody's hitting 500-foot home runs. Everybody throws 102. Easy money. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the golden at bat rule. I just think it's stupid. It's not baseball, right? It's you have a complete roster for a reason. And Jess, you can pinch hit. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, that's another thing. What, dude? Here's a crazy idea. If you're in a situation in a game where you need a better hitter, crazy thought, just for a second. If you don't like the guy that you have up, I have another idea the league could idea. What about a pinch hitter idea? What about doing a pinch hitter where you can just bring in anybody off your bench to hit instead of the guy you have up?
Just food for thought.
The league, you know, you guys, if you hear this, just decide if you want to go with it or not. Just an idea.
Do you think that could be used for runners as well?
Well, I mean, hey, dude, what if you don't like the pitcher that you have out there? I have an idea. What about a bullpen where you have like five or six other pitchers that could come in and replace the pitcher who, isn't pitching as well? What about that one?
Is that how you is bullpen with two L's? I've never heard that word before, dude.
Two L's. It's French.
Whoa.
Yeah, two L's. Yeah.
Boulangerie, dude. Yeah. I think that's how you say bread.
Bullpen.
Whoa, dude. We party. Yeah, I think it's silly. I guess, like, kudos for the creativity. We'll put that one on the fridge. But yeah, it's bad. It's just stupid. It's no good, Jess. It's just no good.
It's dumb. It's
dumb. I don't like it.
It's just base. I think it's just Manfred throwing it out there just to see how fans react. I don't actually think it's a real thing that they're actually considering implementing unless they see like social media reaction. Like, I love this idea. All these comments, people are really into it. They're not going to do it.
I think I have a rule that should be really considered, and that's no major league teams are allowed to play in minor league stadiums.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, that would basically nullify the entire 2025, 2026, and 2027 season.
Uh-oh.
Basically, yeah, we're in trouble if that's the case. All right, Brando, that was fun.
This was a good
been,
one. Another
deferred
collusion episode,
buddy.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jess, deferred collusion now on Apple Music, Spotify. Check out the audio-only versions if that's easier for you about your day. As always, we're
If you want to drive home from work and listen to these voices on your way home, we're happy to oblige.
Hey, I'm in your car, and you are tuned into 88.7. I don't know.
Juan Soto has signed a 13-year, $685 million deal with the Dodgers, and $543 million has been deferred until his 83rd year on this planet.
Wow, Jess.
Next on KCRW.
All right. Wow, Jess, that's a cool story. That's neat.